This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your workday. So tell your next-door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
You are on Joy 94.9 Saturday Magazine with Macca and Janet Jukes. Our next guest is Hugh de Cresta, and Hugh is currently the Executive Director of the Human Rights Law Centre, but he's transitioning from there to be Chief Executive of the Yuruk Justice Foundation. Good morning, Hugh. How are you?
Morning, Macca. Morning, Janet. Thanks for having me on. I'm well.
Human Rights Law Centre, you've been there, is it 9 years?
9 years, yes. I started in February 2013. I was actually on the board when we established in 2006, so it's been an incredible journey. Seeing, we had one staff member, $150,000 in funding, no ongoing funding, and a good idea and lots of pro bono support from law firms and barristers, and we have come a long way since those early days.
What do you think? You know, seeing the organisation grow and also its influence that it's had, what has been for you, Hugh, the couple of greatest achievements that the Human Rights Law Centre has been part of? I know that's a difficult question, but what would you be hanging your hat on?
I think I did an interview earlier in the week, and it was interesting reflecting on the state of human rights in Australia and the fact that in some areas, as a leader of an organisation, what you try and do is create the environment where talented people can succeed and be empowered to lead. And I think that's something I'm so proud of, that we've had leaders in our organisation like Anna Brown in the LGBTI rights space, who has just been an incredible leader and co-chair of the Marriage Equality Campaign. And so the contribution we made in those huge debates and reforms, I'm immensely proud of. We played a leading role around reproductive health rights in Australia, so decriminalisation of abortion in New South Wales and Queensland, South Australia needs to be implemented, Northern Territory, and the establishment of safe access zones outside abortion clinics, so people aren't harassed and intimidated going to see their doctor about reproductive health services. So they're areas where we've seen huge progress that we've played a role in, but really coming off the back of decades, lifetimes of advocacy by activists, and we're coming at the end of that reform cycle, if you like, and we're able to secure those reforms. But other areas, you're just fighting tooth and nail to stop bad things from happening, stop regress, and then get inches forward. And that, when we look at things like our treatment of people seeking asylum, who fled for persecution, seeking safety in Australia, come by boat, that's emblematic of our work there, where we're just trying to stop the awful conditions on Nauru and Manus Island, trying to find a pathway to safety and freedom for people who've been detained indefinitely for years on end. And so that's some of our hardest work. And when you meet some of those clients and their children, and you see the life that they have and the difference that the work that we've made to that, that makes you hugely proud.
Of course, most people may or may not know that the Human Rights Law Centre is really the birthing parent of Equality Australia.
Yes.
Without your commitment to allow Anna and Lee and others who are on your staff to do all of that work around marriage equality, we wouldn't have Equality Australia today doing all the amazing stuff.
So thank you for that. We want to recognise that.
So, you know, particularly we'd like to recognise, you know, your willingness to let that happen and also to let Anna go and make Equality Australia what it is. We've got a question.
It was an obvious decision for us. Like, you know, we'd sought support to set up a dedicated LGBTI rights program. We were lucky to have people who backed us to set up that work. You know, Anna led that work, we recruited Lee, and then after marriage equality was a natural transition to Equality Australia. So yeah, we're so proud to see that organisation going so successfully under Anna's leadership.
And really important because, of course, as you were just saying, after a success in human rights, there's often a backlash. Mm. And we, you know, the last election, we saw part of that backlash, particularly against trans and gender diverse people. So that work never ends, does it?
It's awful, that debate, but it's also, as awful as it is, it's a sign of progress. You know, when I think about Adam Goods and the awful booing that he endured, and then the you know, that torturous debate that the communities had after that, with people debating, well, you know, was the booing racist or not? Well, that's horrible, but it's also you see the progress that's happening there as well. And I think on with the election outcome and the rejection by voters of some of that awful rhetoric around trans people, that again is showing that we've come a long way and we're finally achieving progress. So in amongst all the pain, you know, someone who's worked in the area, I do see, you know, positive signs that this will hopefully be a thing of the past. But yeah, you're right. You know, you look at reproductive health rights and you know, the attempts to reverse stack the Supreme Court in the US and reverse Roe v. Wade and the draft judgment that's been released there, you know, that underscores the need to just have constant vigilance around defending the hard-won gains that we've got.
I just wanted to ask, Chris, Hugh, we'll get to your new role in just a second. We're running short of time, but do you think the environment for advancing human rights is... You know, if you look forward to the next few years, a new federal government, I'm not looking for a partisan comment or whatever, but do you think the environment is better, particularly, you know, things like, you know, Julian Assange? What do you see as the environment as we move into the next few years?
I think it's better in some respects and worse in others. So one huge reform that we're trying to achieve, and this is one of the regrets I have that I won't be able to pursue this reform with the new parliament, which will be much more conducive to it, is trying to get a Charter of Rights in Australia. So Australia is the only Western democracy without a national Charter of Rights or Human Rights Act. This is a law that would put values of freedom, equality, dignity and respect at the heart of government decision making. It's a reform that should have happened a long time ago. And I think that a reform like that is much more likely to happen under the current parliament. I think that, you know, there will be progress around refugee rights. I think there will be progress around the rights of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. In other areas, change will be really hard. There's a bipartisan commitment to offshore processing of people seeking safety, of boat turnbacks. We've lost a lot of ground on national security. I think I am hopeful. I'm optimistic about the future. I think while you know, progress is not linear, it can't be taken for granted. There's regress, there's steps back. You've got to be vigilant. But, you know, what I've seen over my career is is genuine steps forward in advancing human rights. And I think with this new parliament, we've got an incredible opportunity, and we need to act now. Like, time goes so quickly, so we have to act now.
I wanted briefly, Hugh, to touch, if I may, on your new role as Chief Executive Officer of the Yirrkuk Justice Foundation. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's the Yirrkuk Justice Commission.
Commission. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. So it's a royal commission set up by the Victorian government, but with principles of Aboriginal self-determination at its heart. So there's four Aboriginal commissioners. Eleanor Burke is the chair of the commission, and it's really the first official truth-telling inquiry about Aboriginal injustice against Aboriginal people in Victoria, both historic and ongoing. And so there will be, it's a three-year inquiry. It's got 2 years to run. I'll join as Chief Executive Officer supporting the commissioners to do their job. And the commission will be hearing from Aboriginal people and non-Aboriginal people in Victoria about that injustice, documenting it, and really importantly, making recommendations to fix it. And those recommendations, as part of the job of the commission, will include the kinds of things that should be in a treaty or treaties with Aboriginal people in Victoria. So at the national level, people will be familiar with the Uluru Statement and the components of that being voice, treaty and truth. Victoria is leading the way. And the Andrews government has a really strong commitment to this around the truth-telling and the treaty processes. I'm really looking forward to playing a part in supporting that process.
And you start, I think, the 4th of July, is that right here?
4th of July, yes. So I've got a few weeks left to wrap up 9 years of work and hand over all the knowledge in my head to my talented colleagues.
If I can ask as we close, Hugh, all of our listeners, we get a lot of comments from listeners about issues that they're passionate about, and also supporting the work that you and your staff have done. What would you say to them, to our listeners? What do they need to do, apart from obviously support the Human Rights Law Centre? What do they need to do to make sure that these issues don't go off the boil?
Yeah, I think I do a lot of public speaking, and people often ask me that question, and I think the answer is do something.
Yeah,
don't do nothing. And I'm privileged. I do a job full time that aligns with my personal values, where I get to advance the things that I care deeply about. Those values are shared so widely in our community, and people who share those values should be doing something. And that means speaking up in conversations with your family and friends, writing to politicians, ringing talkback radio, sharing your views, donating, volunteering in your organisations. There's all sorts of different ways. I used to work in a corporate law firm when I started my career a long, long time ago, and I did pro bono work as part of that. And so, the answer is just do something, and everything contributes. You don't have to be a full-time human rights lawyer or human rights advocate to help. And there are so many ways that people are helping to make our country a fairer, more compassionate place.
And obviously, in relation to your new role, truth-telling, listening, learning and learning about yourself. All the best for your new role, and thank you so much for your work, particularly in human rights across the last nearly decade. All power to you for your next role.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Janet. Thanks, Mako. Thanks for having me on.
And perhaps when you're, once you've got your feet under the desk and shuffled them around a bit, we'd love to talk to you a couple of months into your new role and tell us how it's playing out for you.
Yeah, I'd be happy to talk, but even better, like, this is a process that's Aboriginal-led. So,
of course,
Aboriginal people who should be leading this dialogue. And, we've got incredible commissioners, and, yeah, and a really important process led by them. So my job is to support them. So it'll be a new thing for me. I won't be in a public-facing role. And
that's cool. Yeah, a new challenge. I understand that. Thanks again for your work, Hugh. It has made a difference to so many lives. It's created a better Australia and a better Victoria. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, cheers.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.